Chapter 28, The Woman from Asia. Claire sat in a cafe in Mount Druitt opposite an Asia agent, who was a warm young woman from the Darug tribe. Ruth introduced her and left them discreetly. "This is Olivia. She wants to help with Silky and Quentin. She's Tiffany's friend and my goddaughter, with the whatever of the survivor. Her company gives money to the shelter." So Claire asked Olivia directly, "Has Ruth told you where Silky is, and does that put her in danger? Are your company still close to Smith?" Olivia put 4 spoons of sugar in milk coffee in the centre of a perfect frothy heart, explaining, "My blood sugar gets low really quickly. No, we don't even know if Silky was attacked by Smith or if Andrew Trask was paid by someone else entirely, but probably not by us." Claire said, "You'd like Quentin to come home, though, wouldn't you? And Silky being so sick does help with that. It might square the arms sales with Israel, the Emirates, the Ukraine. They are all okay with Quentin, some of the old CIA, too. She would be a super salesperson, no?" Olivia's voice was soft as milk and sugar coffee. "You know, I used to write for Rupert Murdoch. No one defends the rights of the indigenous in custody as strongly as his press." "I remember your pieces, they were powerful," said Claire. "Were you recruited by then, or was it later?" Her own coffee was black and bitter. Olivia was as candid as milk and sugar. "It was at Bankstown campus, professional writing, nothing furtive. They put up posters, and I was already interned at the Murdoch papers. My auntie had been left to die in Darwin prison. Diabetes is a death sentence up there. Sure, the company was using anything indigenous, but Murdoch was sincere." Claire said, "I never expected to be a go-between in arms sales recruitment, but there's no doubt that Quentin must return. And George would be broken-hearted if Silky died now. Realising, so would I. George goes to the Ewell soon to visit Smith and Quentin. We will see what we can do for you, but there must be no more pressure on Silky, and I'll know if I'm followed." Olivia nodded calmly. They embraced when Claire left, but Claire felt that Ruth had successfully concealed the Lithgow coven. She went back to her mother's to check on Corbin. He was in her mother's arms in the back garden, caressing gnarled winter apple branches like cats, the plush bear baby George had given him tucked in his other arm. Like George, she thought, he was strong in the arms, did not release when his mind seemed to do so, and yet did let go at times in some kind of fruitful interim. Feeding Corbin on the back step, surrounded by cats from Cos and the dog from Egypt, she asked her mother, almost serious, "Would you actually like a Bortzoi? There's a lovely stray bitch in Moscow." It was cold, it was June, and Claire's nipples winter apples, until suckling soothed them smooth, blood-mottled warm below. But then Ruth arrived to drive to the coven over the mountains. Lithgow in this weather was almost grey with almost snow.